Okay.
Got it?
Yeah, describe the characteristics, explore the relationships, and discuss, if not peace, should we move to a draft to ensure equity in war burden? War adversely impacts society as a whole. For the individual, it impacts their health, their future employment status, their overall quality of life, the burden to not just themselves but their family, and it's been linked to the suicide rates that are very high in our warriors' children. For society, it affects the population that is now homeless, public safety, incurred health care costs, and the loss of the creative potential of each and every individual who's been shattered by war. One organization, the Civilian Medical Resources Network, is trying to reach out to this very population. The objectives of the Civilian Medical Resource Network are to provide civilian medical or mental health evaluations and treatment for people serving on active duty with the military. Their activities are wide. They include case coordination, counseling by phone, referrals to professionals who work in the GI's geographical area. We work closely with other organizations that are affiliated with causes of this nature, such as the GI Rights Hotline, which is comprised of 25 churches throughout the country. So our study. We collect information on all individuals that seek our services who consent to participate. Presently, we have quantitative data on 279 CMRN, complete client records, from 2009 to June of 2015. Our study is exploratory and retrospective in nature. Some of the characteristics of our population. One, it's predominantly male. It largely had been white 3 years ago, but it is now blurring in terms of color. And it's predominantly individuals within the Army who are between the ages of 18 and 30. Rank is largely enlisted within the E1 to E4 ranking, and individuals have a high school graduate, a high school level education or some college, and 19% of our population is AWOL at the time of seeking services. About a fifth of the individuals reported a pre-military mental health problem at the time of intake, and a quarter reported pre-military health problems as well. In terms of pre-military trauma, which could be as diverse as sexual and emotional abuse or physical abuse, about 47% of our population reported they had such events in their lives. From a military trauma perspective, about 73%. Now, this is, we were using the post-traumatic stress disorder checklist military version. I was using a cutoff score that was actually fairly conservative with a score of 52. If we had lowered it to what is generally the score now of about 50, that would have covered over 85% of our population. In terms of military treatment, this is not a group that had shied away from seeking services within the military. Rather, most of the population had reached out to seek services within the military for their issues. And for those who failed to find services within the military, they reached out to civilian services before they came to us. 72% of the population met criteria for major depressive disorder under DSM-IV criteria. And again, 61% met PTSD criteria under DSM-IV. Suicidal ideation was about 48% of the population at the time that they had their intake. And about a quarter of the population reported some form of alcohol abuse, panic disorder, or generalized anxiety disorder. In terms of our complete case multivariate analyses, we find that for a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder, those independent variables that were significant were individuals who were AWOL at the time of the intake assessment evaluation and some form of trauma, be that non-combat or combat. For non-combat trauma, we found out that Latinos and Asian or Native Americans actually had a much stronger relationship with reporting non-combat trauma, as well as older age and panic disorder. And actually, when I went through the narratives of some of the intake reporters, I found that many of these individuals were female, even though gender was not significant in this, who had just received or just were refused advancement and had also reported some form of sexual abuse. For combat trauma, rank was significantly related. We had E2, E3, and specialists. These are individuals that reached out for services. They were also reported seeking military health and mental health issues, or trying to get those issues resolved within the military, and they did meet criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder. For generalized anxiety disorder, much higher education, lack of insurance at the time of seeking services from us, and they had reported a pre-military health problem. This was a highly educated population that was recruited knowing full well by the recruiter that they had a health problem before they came in. Panic disorder, the only thing that was associated was combat trauma. And for suicidal ideation, which is generally found in the general literature, individuals were 22 years or younger, had either a diagnosis of panic disorder or generalized anxiety disorder. And last, for AWOL, you were largely in the Army, were much younger. Actually, the group that was the youngest was the 18 to 19 year old age group, and met criteria for PTSD. So in conclusions, when we look at the issue of peace and a draft and this data, well, peace could ease disease burden in this context. It may reduce some of the ethical dilemmas that we all have around the issues related to war and war itself. And it could, in fact, prove public safety by having these individuals seek services rather than having them exacerbated further by traumatic experiences in war. A draft, if we can't have peace, might at least ensure equity in war burden. It pulls the entire country into the conversation, for every child is at risk being placed in battlefield. And it reduces families and multiple generations of warriors who unfortunately have shouldered the burden of the safety of our entire country on their own shoulders and have taken a major toll as a result of our asking them to do just that. So this Admiral Mike Mullen in 2011, when he was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, addressed the West Point graduating class. One telling thing he said to them all is, "I fear they do not know us," that being the public. "I fear they do not comprehend the full weight of the burden we carry or the price we pay when we return from battle." So I'd like to, before I finish, I'd like to thank everybody who's part of the CMRN network. The group is growing, and our agenda is to provide services to those warriors who have been left unattended to. Thank you.